Good morning. How's everybody doing? Great.
You're supposed to be awake by now.
Come on. Let's stand up. Let's worship together.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. But though my heart may fail, my song will rise. My song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord.
That's right.
In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes, I'll lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord.
Sing it out together.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
We're not going to show up at your house. We're not going to
maybe not. We're not going to call you 50 times, but it's just a way for us to get connected with you, to let us know you were here, and a way for you guys to connect with Westgate Chapel. So if you want, you can take it back to these little bins we got in the back, or you can take it to one of our guest services, and you'll be greeted with a free smile and also a free gift. So you get two free things in one day, nothing better than that, so I want to encourage you to do so. And the reason I'm here this morning is not only to welcome all of you, but also to talk about something really cool that happened this week. We actually got to go to Warren, Ohio, just right around Youngstown, Ohio, and it's where it's a place that I grew up at for 26 years, spent most of my life. And I had the opportunity of taking a bunch of leaders and middle schoolers from Westgate to Warren, Ohio for a serve trip. And this trip was not only really cool because we got to serve the community, but for me it was like bringing two worlds together, like two groups of people that I love with all of my heart and being like around all of them all at once. And so like even just this morning, like my heart is just full of joy right now. And so it's really cool. But what I wanted you guys to hear is from a few students about what their trip was like for them. So Xavier and Gracie, please come on out. Give them a hand, everybody. Gracie and Xavier, there we go. They're awesome people. So let's make sure we're up front. There we go. Here, nice, nice. All right, so I got a couple questions I want to ask them. And so Gracie, what did you enjoy most about your serve trip, besides spending the whole week with your amazing youth pastor?
I enjoy just being with other believers. You know, after being in lockdown for so long, we didn't have that. So being with people my own age and serving with them, but also blessing others, was just really a great experience for me.
Xavier, same exact question.
Well, one of our jobs for, well, I think everybody had to do, was carry a 10-gallon jug and a 5-gallon jug of water, like 3 miles, to raise awareness for people in Africa and Southeast Asia and South America that have to walk like 3 hours to get clean water. And so that was pretty difficult, but that was not my favorite part. Since we were doing so good on it and going so fast, Jared encouraged us to go extra, and so we did an extra like 1.5 miles, something like that. And on that way, we got to pray for two people. One of the guys, his life was going good. He's just mowing the lawn, and we asked if we could pray for him, and that was pretty cool. And just to bless like his morning or afternoon, I don't know what it was. But and then the second lady, she was just walking her dog, and we got to meet her and meet her dog, which is super cute. And she had recently lost a bunch of family to COVID and a bunch of friends, and her life was just rough in that moment. And so I got the privilege to pray for her, and that was by far the coolest moment of that trip.
There we go. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I actually had the opportunity to do the water challenge as well, and it was incredibly hard. And so we did not go an extra 1.5 miles with my group. I was trying to find shortcuts and things like that. But it was really tough, and it really did give the kids a really good perspective, and the adults, leaders, and all that, of what it's like to having to go and get your water. And like, we're used to having like 8 spigots at our house, right? And people walk every single day, like 3, 4, 5 hours just to get water, and it's necessarily not even clean. It just gives us a perspective of how blessed we are and how we shouldn't take those things for granted. So that was a really cool thing for me. And those jugs were not light. They were heavy, and it was hot out. So it was a wild experience. Second question, what were one or two things that God showed to you or revealed to you on this trip?
Well, without a right mindset while serving, you just feel like you're doing good stuff for the community, but it's not just that. You're doing it for God, and people in the community are seeing that you are serving, and like a bunch of kids from a church are just doing good things for the community, and it could influence their lives. And without a good mindset, you're not like doing it for God, and that really helps like push through, and in the end, it makes you feel a lot better when you have a good mindset about it.
God revealed to me that if we go in serving, thinking, like having the mindset of what we will get out of it, then we won't really have the heart in it and we won't put in as much effort. But we need to serve and just give God all the glory and take every opportunity we get to share his love with others.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Give it up for Gracie and Xavier. Awesome. You guys can go ahead. But yeah, that's why, man, stories like that are why, and there's so many other stories with all our students, but that's why we do trips like these. Monday nights, Sunday mornings, these kids hear about God's word, they internalize it, they put it in their brains and their hearts, but these trips give them an opportunity to actually live it out and follow Jesus, like, and become Christ-like. And so for those of you that were praying for us, for those of you that helped us out financially to get there, I just really want to thank you guys for that, because your prayers were definitely felt. I mean, it was a lot of work, a lot of tough work, and a lot of long days, and so I'm just thankful for that. And I know that I was blessed because of this trip. Our leaders were blessed because of this trip. Our students were blessed. And I know for a fact that that Warren community was blessed because a bunch of middle schoolers decided to say yes to serving people like Jesus did. So it was just an incredible weekend. I'm glad we got to share that with you guys. But we're going to hop back into worship. I'm going to pray for us as we do. Dear Jesus, man, I just thank you for Gracie and Xavier and all those other kids that went on the trip. Thank you for working in their hearts. God, we are never too young for you to start working and moving and giving us opportunities to show people who you are. So God, thank you for them. Thank you for their stories. Thank you for their hearts. And may we be encouraged by this. May we be able to say yes like those middle schoolers said yes. And God, I pray as we go into worship that we are focused on you, that we're not worried about the horizontal. We're not worried about the person to the left or the right or in front of us, if they're out of key or not, but we're focused horizontally on you because God, you deserve all of our glory. You deserve all of our praise. May we be focused as we're singing. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Presence of Behind me, your loving kindness. you so much. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your sovereignty and the fact that you promise never to leave us or forsake us. Lord, I thank you that even if we're walking through the wilderness, Father, we can look back at other times in our lives when you've been faithful, when you've been our provider. You've given us everything that we need for every day. I thank you that you are the God of every moment of our journey and that you hem us in, Lord, behind us and before us. You go before us during those wilderness times, Lord, to make the rough places smooth and to turn the darkness into light. And I thank you so much for every promise in your word that we can cling to, regardless of what season we're walking through. Father, I thank you so much for who you are and for your constant character that you never change. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
And good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Excellent. Dan is right. Good morning, church family. Even better. I love it. Hey, it is good to be worshiping together again today. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Rob Zimmerman, lead pastor here at Westgate. And again, I want to give a special welcome to those of you that are at home worshiping online. Thank you again for your faithfulness in joining us today as we worship together. For many of you, you know that we have been going through a series entitled Asking for a Friend over the past many weeks. And in this series, we're wrestling with questions, difficult questions that Christians and non-Christians alike struggle with concerning things like the Bible, God, Jesus, and faith. And as part of this series yesterday, we had a seminar series here on defending the faith, and I got to hear from a very good friend of mine, Dr. Brent Strasberg, who we flew out from California to come and to share and to wrestle with some of those questions. And this morning, we are privileged that he is here to share with us as well from God's Word as we continue in this series together. If I can tell you just a little bit about Brent, is the founder and president of Brent Strasberg Apologetics, and is a ministry that he has going around the country and doing things like apologetic seminars, equipping the church. He has also been a pastor in two churches, which he pastored for well over 30 years. And just to get all of the stuff out of the way, his degrees, he got a Master's of Divinity from Talbot School of Theology. Woo! He also got a master's degree from Biola University in Christian Apologetics and has a D.Min from Dallas Theological Seminary. He is well-trained and well-studied in this topic, and I appreciate Brent so much for that. But can I just tell you this morning that on a very personal level, Brent is such an incredible man, and I have been so blessed to have him in my life. Brent and his wife, Sherry, have been married for, 40 years, right? And they have two children, Michael and Janelle, four grandchildren, and Brent gave me my first start in ministry as a youth pastor at his church in Huntington Beach, California. And if I can just tell you a little bit personally about Brent, one of the things I love about him is that he is a very personable person. He loves Jesus deeply, but even more, I find that he loves his church and he loves to equip God's church. And so I am excited that he is here again with us this morning to continue in our series and to share with us from God's Word. So would you please welcome with me my friend, Dr. Brent Strasberg.
Good morning, folks. How you doing? You're all so friendly. I like Ohio. Never been to Ohio until this weekend, so it's really good. Thanks, Rob, for those kind words. Your pastor, I just gotta brag on him. I'm so incredibly proud of Rob, and has so many gifts, and God, although I was very bitter when he left my church, and I tried to think of every godly and ungodly way to keep him to myself and to my church, but God wanted to share him with a larger audience, and so I'm very thankful that he did that. No one is immune to pain's touch. No one. As I travel around the country and I speak at churches and conferences, I come face to face with people all the time who've been through tough times. I talk to people who have, been fired, lost a job. I've talked to people who have faced a horrible illness or a financial reversal. I've listened as people describe the pain and anguish and trauma of losing a loved one. Or as they look to the future, it's very uncertain. Sometimes as I talk to those folks, I just get this real sense that it's just overwhelming. It's too much. They've kind of given up hope. And, you know, to be honest, all this kind of stuff is no stranger to Sherry and myself. For the last 15 years, our eldest, Michael, has struggled with chronic back pain in his lower back. For 15 years, it's affected every aspect of his life, family life, being a husband, a dad, also professional life. Every day, his pain hardly ever gets under 7 or 8 on a scale of 10. And it's just been agonizing to watch that. There have been so many times where I've just wanted to say, Lord, if you could do like a switch, you know, and I'll take that. Several years ago, we both lost our fathers, who we were very close to. And one of the bigger things, about 9 years ago, Sherry and I went through the most difficult season in our 40 years of marriage. I was pastoring a church, and I was let go, or I chose to leave. It was a difficult situation. And over a course of several months, I lost everything. I lost my profession. I lost my job. I lost most of my friends. Sherry and I both faced some major health issues. She had to retire from the school district as a teacher. We both struggled emotionally. I struggled more. To be honest, I really hit rock bottom. I had to seek out professional help to kind of get me a little bit more stabilized. And, you know, I've sensed through my own experience and through walking this through with other people that sometimes when we go through tough times, we sense this distance, this obstacle between us and the Lord, and all of a sudden, God doesn't seem as near as he used to be. All of a sudden, we're looking for answers, and we're praying like crazy, and we're not hearing the kind of answers that we're looking for. One of the most famous Christians of all time, C.S. Lewis, in the aftermath of his wife's death of bone cancer, wrote these rather chilling words, but it describes his emotional state as he went through that difficult season. He said, "Meanwhile, where is God? When you are happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing him. If you turn to him then with praise, you will be welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. You may as well turn away." Although Christians throughout the ages have faced difficulties and disappointments, most churches never give Christians the tools to know how to continue to stay close to the Lord and to find him during difficult seasons. And this morning, I'd like to share some helpful reminders that I've learned through my journey. So I invite you to take out your message notes if you have those. If you love to fill in the blanks, raise your hand. You love to fill in the blanks? Okay, this is your lucky day. I always tell people, if they can guess the blanks before I share them, I'll give you something free. I'm not going to do that today, but because you're really a sharp group and you might beat me, but I've never had anybody fill in all the blanks on any talk I've ever given. So I don't know what that says, but I just wanted to share that with you. Here's the reminder. Reminder number one, be honest, don't blame God. Be honest, don't blame God. I realize that for some, this might sound overly simplistic, but I believe it's really tremendously helpful because if consciously or unconsciously we're blaming God for wrongdoing and directly, intentionally sending all these things into our life to try to make us miserable, it can really supremely harm our Christian experience. And all of a sudden, our journey of faith can really be quite damaged. One of the most powerful illustrations of this principle of balancing honesty and not blaming God is found in the life of Job. We all know Job's story. We all know all the incredible things he went through. He went through so much loss and hurt.
It was a struggle for him to connect with God. He didn't sense the kind of normal support from his friends and even his own family. And we aren't told exactly how long Job went through this whole ordeal. But just as you read his account, you can just sense just how horrible it must have been and all the loss that's going through his life. But early in the storyline, you gain a sense of two things, what's really important to Job. Listen to the account, Job 1, 20 through 22. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Job kept two things really consistent. First of all, he was honest with himself and with God. The passage says that he tore his robe and shaved his head. That was a public display in those days of mourning. Job wasn't hiding this. He was telling everybody, "Folks, I'm going through the worst imaginable loss and trauma and pain that people can absolutely go through." He was absolutely transparent with the people around him. And as you read through the book of Job, you sense that honesty extended to the Lord, because he has this very frank conversation with the Lord where he's complaining about certain things and he wished that God were closer to him and that he could have an umpire that would kind of figure out what's going on in my relationship with God. Folks, can I just say, God can handle your honesty. God doesn't get hurt feelings. God can handle your anger. God can handle your crying. God can handle your depression and anxiety. We want to be able to have freedom as we speak to the Lord. But the second thing that we see from Job is that he never blamed God. He recognized that God was the ultimate source in life and death, but he never blamed God for any type of wrongdoing. Although he didn't understand things, even though his wife told him at one point, "You know, Job, let's get over with this. Just curse God." Implication is, maybe if you curse God to his face, he'll take you out. And then you can put an end to everything. You know, the Bible tells us that God is perfectly moral and blameless. In other words, God can't be blamed for any type of wrongdoing. Scripture says it this way in Psalm 145, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does." Although we'll never be able to understand everything that happens in our life, Rob and I have been sharing about this throughout this entire weekend with both of our journeys with churches that we loved for a vast majority of our time. There were periods where we just didn't know what was up and what was down. We didn't know God's bigger game plan. Now, I realize that life isn't always easy because the tough times in life can be overwhelming. But I had the honor of learning this principle of being honest but not blaming God from the life of my dad. My dad passed away in November of 2018 at the age of 93. He served in World War II. I was a school teacher for most of his career, then became a pastor to senior adults. He was still teaching Sunday school up to 6 months before he died. Eventually, he had to have a little chair, but he was still bringing the word. It was pretty amazing. But he was no stranger to pain and loss. He lost my mom to a heart attack after 50 years of marriage. He lost his second wife after 23 years of marriage after a long illness with Alzheimer's. Just broke my dad's heart every time that he visited her. He struggled with congestive heart failure and kidney failure over the last year of his life, and eventually he decided to place himself on hospice for the last 2 weeks of his life. Despite all of this loss in my dad's life, he never lost his grip, his belief that the God that he served was fundamentally good. He held on to that. When Sherry and I visited him in his second stint in the hospital, his doctors had finally kind of told him that, well, here's your options. And my dad, without consulting us, and that was fine, you know, he was a grown man, he decided that he was going to go on hospice. He was ready to go home and be with Jesus. And so when he told Sherry and I that, it was obviously a shock to us. But then with a warm smile, my dad just looked at us and said, kids, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. You don't think that that transformed my life? He would say that all the time, like all the time, like annoyingly all the time. I'd tell him something, struggle that was going on in my life, and, you know, my mama would support me and all that, and my dad would say, well, you know, Brent, God is good all the time, blah, 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 blah. But it's in those moments where I saw him live that out that it was a tremendous principle. His life was a constant reminder, be honest, but don't blame God. Reminder number two, trust God with the unseen. Trust God with the unseen. One of the cruel realities of our world is that much of life is unseen. We don't know what's going to happen the rest of our day. We don't know what's going to happen at the beginning of the week or the remainder of the year. Obviously, during the last year and a half, during COVID, our sense of being out of control and not knowing anything about anything was even greater. Sometimes we just can't get our head around the things that we face. We don't understand everything. We don't have clear answers. We can't see the future. And it's during those seasons that I've been drawn personally in my own spiritual journey with the Lord to an obscure verse in the book of Ecclesiastes written by King Solomon. It reads like this, Ecclesiastes 7, 13 to 14. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. King Solomon, pretty wise dude, he says, here's a principle I'm going to give you. A man cannot discover anything about his future. Now, King Solomon understood that it's human nature to ask why. We want to kind of peek behind the curtain and see what's going on. But what Scripture tells us is that by and large, our future is a secret to us. God has intentionally kept it under wraps. Now, to be honest, I believe one of the reasons that God's hidden our future is because he's compassionate. Just think about this for a second. If you knew all the good that was going to be happening for the rest of your year, this year, 2021, in advance, would you go after life with as much a gusto and a sense of faith and anticipation? Would you pursue all your goals with a sense of, boy, this is a great adventure for me? I don't think so. And imagine for a second if God told you today, right at the end of the service while we pray, if he revealed all the bad things that were going to happen in your life for the next 2 years. Anybody want to sign up for that? Some of you would not get out of bed tomorrow. I guarantee it. I think God protects us from that because he understands the frailty of human nature. I fully realize that in the initial stages of grief and loss, your pain requires all of us to ask the three-letter question, why? We all ask why. There's no shame in why. But I will say that if we ask why at every juncture in life, there will be a sense of constant tension and struggle between us and the Lord because he's created the future to be obscured and to be clouded. And if we're demanding from him all the time that we have answers to what everything is going on, there's going to be an unintentional tension between us and the Lord. You see, I believe during tough seasons, God's eager for something else. He wants the unseen to unlock a door to greater intimacy with God. I can tell you right now, I know more things about God experientially in my life because of my journey through the unseen. It's like it was a door I didn't want to go through. Trust me. I've had many conversations with God. And I use all the fancy theological words, and then I use all the even more theologically sensitive words like, God, this is stupid. And Lord, this really stinks. And I'm sure at certain times I've used other words too. But he's invited me, myself and my wife and our kids, to walk through a door where we see him on a greater level. Christian Rieger, former Dachau concentration camp survivor, expressed it this way. Nietzsche said a man can undergo torture if he knows the why of his life. But I here at Dachau learned something far greater. I learned to know the who of my life. He was enough to sustain me then and is enough to sustain me still. Folks, I've learned to trust the Lord in ways I never thought possible. Most of it was not fun and it surely was not easy. But on the other side of things, I've discovered things about God, things about myself, things about this journey of walking through an imperfect world hand in hand with my Creator that I never could have learned anyplace else. Reminder number three, don't let hurt define or destroy you. Don't let hurt define or destroy you. Every single person here this morning has faced negative things that have threatened to define your life. It can be difficult circumstances, a particular failure. It could be circumstances where you just kind of feel a little bitter that God may have dealt you a crummy hand. Could be negative perceptions from people around you that have influenced you, people that were very negative in your life. Could be a traumatic event that really just changed a lot. You just said, man, I was doing fine until this thing happened in my life. And then it just really took me for a loop. Early leaders of the church understood this. The Apostle Peter wrote these words, 1 Peter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. See, this verse is not just telling us that we live in an imperfect world. It actually paints a picture that God has the capacity, although he's sorrowful and grieving for all the difficult things that we face in life, that he has the capacity to use everything in our life to begin to shape and develop us into a better version of ourselves. You might not know this, but for years, the Soviet cosmonaut program struggled in the aftermath of all their space voyages because they would typically send up cosmonauts and they would orbit in space for 200 to 300 days. And it really took a toll on them physically. When they would come back to Earth, they didn't. Their muscle development had weakened. They had heart palpitations. There's just a lot of physical problems that they discovered. And part of the reason is that zero gravity, the muscles of the body begin to waste away. So their scientists came up with something that would remedy that, and they invented what they called the penguin suit. And it was a running suit laced with elastic bands, so that in zero gravity, no matter what they were doing, their muscles were still being exercised. And they alleviated most of the problems that they had coming back to Earth. Can I just tell you, just my perspective, God has allowed this imperfect world as our very own penguin suit. He has allowed us to live in this very flawed, broken, busted, imperfect world. But his goal is to use our world to somehow not have us destroyed or defined by things, but to have us developed into a better representative of Jesus Christ. Early in my life, I faced a traumatic challenge. It was the most difficult thing I faced as a young boy. I was a stutterer as a kid. Had a speech impediment. If you ever saw King's Speech, the movie, you know, King George from England back in World War II, you kind of sense some of the agony, but I can't begin to tell you how traumatic that was for me as a kid. Getting out simple sentences was excruciating. The most difficult thing is when people would be introduced to me, they would tell me their name, and they would ask me what my name was. The hardest letters that I struggled with were the letter B, as in boy, and the letter M. So you can imagine my horror as people after people, every new class, every new Sunday school teacher at school, everything, they would say, "What's your name?" And I would have to say, "My name is Brent." But I wouldn't say it calmly like that. Sometimes I just would, it would be horrific how long it would take me to get out my own name. So you can see I wasn't really a talkative type. Who knew? But it was just really, it was horrible. Finally, my folks, they knew a retired missionary by the name of Sylvia Boyd, who patiently worked with me for a couple years and kind of got me through that journey. And I began to discover that my stuttering wasn't going to define or destroy me. It was going to be just simply part of my story. You know, as I look back on the young Brent who struggled as a stutterer, I can see the fingerprints of many of the good things that God did through that. I developed at a young age greater empathy for people, especially for people who struggled with speaking. I began to realize that there was something magical about people who were fluent with their words. And I, at an early age, I just was enamored by seeing people, preachers or, you know, sometimes politicians or historians or great leaders who could just use words to bring joy and hope into the hearts and lives of other people. I also learned to increase my vocabulary and script out things so that I could void words that started with certain letters. And little did I know that I'd end up being a preacher, apologist guy who travels across the country and be an author of 3 books. That really helped. I have a pretty good vocabulary. And it all started because I was trying to find words that didn't start with B and didn't start with M. It was horrible. Just a little side note, I thought I had conquered it as a kid. I actually had a 6-month period where, for some reason, I have to ask the Lord when we get to heaven. I have no idea. I relapsed, and the stuttering came back as a freshman in college. Think about the worst time to have stuttering come back, a freshman in college, and I had signed up for speech. Oh, yeah, shoot me in the face. It was horrible. I was sweating bullets. But then it passed again. It's just the weirdest thing. But, you know, in his wisdom, God decided to use that very difficult season in my life to create a better version of Brent Strasburg. Reminder number 4, lean into God's comfort. Lean into God's comfort. I've observed that during traumatic times in my life and the lives of people that I'm close to, one of the most universal experiences is that people don't always feel or sense God's presence or his comfort. Again, there seems to be a distance between us, and we wonder, sometimes secretly, sometimes out loud to someone who's close, I just don't feel like God cares for me anymore. Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians the following. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow out over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. As you read this passage, you sense something very clear. Paul repeats the Greek word for comfort 10 times. And whenever you read the Bible, I know Rob's taught you this, things that are repeated are important, right? If God repeats something, if Holy Scripture repeats something, pay attention. So when an author repeats one single word 10 times, you know it's really important. Comfort is not just sympathy. It has the idea of empathy that comes from standing next to someone. It's when you talk to someone and they share their story and you say, oh, you struggle with that too. That's comfort, where people identify with what you're going through. And this passage, it just reminds me of two ways that we know that God cares for us. First of all, we know that God cares because he sent his one and only son to live in this broken and busted world and face so much of the suffering and pain and loss and rejection that we all face from time to time. So we know that when we pray to the Lord Jesus, that there is someone who understands, who can comfort us. That's why he's called our great high priest, and that he can comfort us through our weaknesses. But there's a second reason why I know that God cares for us. You see, part of God's master plan to prove to people that he actually cares is to prepare you and I with experiences in life so that we're equipped to come alongside other people and comfort them. In other words, God's grooming us to be his agents of comfort in this world. Isn't it wonderful when you share something and you find someone who resonates with that? You say, gosh, I'm just having a hard time with raising my kids. The first one, I thought I was like the greatest parent in the universe. And this second one, they don't do what I want them to do. What's wrong with me? And you have an older mom who comes up, sweetie, that's okay. I was there. Or you go through facing an uncertainty of an illness or cancer, and you find someone who understands that, who's been down through that journey. Philip Yancey addresses it this way. This plan of the body meshes with the way God is working in the world. Sometimes he does enter in, occasionally performing miracles, often giving supernatural strength to those in need. But mainly he relies on us, his agents, to do his work in the world. We announce his message, work for justice, pray for mercy, and suffer with the sufferers. We are to comfort each other and bring healing. By doing so, we will be recognized as Christ's body. Can I just tell every single person here this morning, God has a ministry waiting for you. It doesn't have a title on it. It won't say deacon or deaconess or elder or small group leader or usher or something like that. Those are great ministries. You keep doing all that. But I'm just saying one of the greater ministries that God is preparing each of us for is a ministry of comfort. Because people need, when they come to church, when they see you in your neighborhood, they're trying to have a genuine experience with the God of the universe. And sometimes when they see you and you tell them what you're going through, and it's similar to what they're going through, it can be incredibly comforting. Now, I realize that some of you are looking at me and say, you got to be kidding me. I'm so far down in the hole, in the pit, I don't imagine that I could ever comfort another person. Let me just tell you very frankly, but very compassionately, God's not finished with you yet. If you've been comforted, there's going to be a time where you can comfort another person. If you've gone through a traumatic event, there's going to be something that you're going to be able to say and to be with another person who's gone through trauma that no one else would be able to understand. If you've been through an illness and you understand the uncertainty and the terror of that, you're going to be able to come alongside someone and just quietly listen. And then from time to time, just add a little sage advice to help them. If you've been through a financial reversal or you've been emotionally wounded, you may have to go through therapy or something like that. There's a person out there. There may be a person at Westgate that needs a friend, that needs someone that will listen to them and demonstrate compassion. You know, over the past several years, I've learned an invaluable lesson. You can take your worst moments and transform another person's life. You can take your worst moments and transform another person's life. I'm still amazed that some of the most traumatic things in my life, God has allowed me by sharing them with people to give people hope and comfort and encouragement. People have thanked me for telling my story about having PTSD, losing a parent, having children in pain, being fired from a job, facing significant medical issues, going through an emotional struggle where you just are in a dark place. And people have come up to me afterwards, and little did I know that they're going through that. And it just means so much to them, and they have such an expression of thanks for all that. God wants to do the same thing with you. He wants to take your unique story, your unique journey, and allow you to use it to transform another person's life. Here's the fifth and final reminder. Find purpose despite the pain. Find purpose despite the pain. Whenever I think of the Old Testament patriarch Joseph, I think of all the things that came uninvited into his life. It's the hardship of being hated by his brothers and being separated from his father, being sold into slavery, being accused of immorality when it wasn't true by Potiphar's wife. And it's amazing, despite all these traumatic events that could have thrown him in a very dark place, and I'm sure he felt the darkness of his journey many times, there eventually came a point where he was reunited with his brothers, those same brothers. I mean, you know, we all have families that are not perfect. Joseph gets the booby prize for just like a very dysfunctional, a hurtful, traumatic family. And he finally reunites with his brothers, and listen to his words. Genesis 50, verse 20, "You intended to harm me." And when the text says that, you have to imagine that Joseph is pointing his finger. "You intended to harm me." Joseph was really clear. He wasn't blaming God for all the crud that came into his life. He looked at his brothers and he said, "You own the lion's share of that." But look what he continues to say. "But God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God decided in his wisdom to use those traumatic, tragic events to somehow further his purposes. And here's what I've learned from this passage. You'll see up on the slide. God doesn't cause all the horrible things to come into our lives, but in his knowledge of everything that will happen in the past, present, and future, God is able to take those darker moments and weave them into something greater for the future. That's what God did for Joseph. God was preparing Joseph to really be the savior of humanity at that time, and also to save the Israel and his father and his line and his lineage by providing food. And I want to say, God is preparing you and I for something in the future. It might not be crystal clear. Rob and I have talked in depth about there was months and months, sometimes years, where we didn't have clarity on what it was that God had in store for us. But we hung on in faith that God was going to have a purpose. As I began this sermon, I mentioned the extremely painful season that Sherry and I went through. You see, for over 30 years, the only thing I really wanted to do with my career was to be a pastor. I wanted to shepherd people. I wanted to walk through life with people. I wanted to mentor them. I wanted to teach the word. And when all of that was taken away, I found myself in a really dark place. I couldn't retire. I was too young, didn't have enough money set aside. And so I really hit rock bottom. And for 7 months, it was just, there was very little hope. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. But over time, during those 7 months, God began to kind of push the clouds back a little bit. He began to put on my heart this ministry that I've been doing over the last 8 years. And he just began to kind of convince me that, boy, Brent, you can still use your gifts to impact people. And you know, Brent, it might just surprise you, but I might even have a bigger stage for you to be able to use your giftedness and influence. But I was still trying to get over the fact that I'd been so hurt. And the thought that God would want to use something so traumatic in my life, it was just really hard for me to get over it. And finally, I reached the point where in my prayer time, I was talking to the Lord, and I knew it was time for me to thank him for allowing all that stuff into my life, because now he was using it for a greater purpose. It required a lot of faith to be able to do that. To be honest, I was almost scared to say it out loud because I thought like God would really extra be listening if I said it out loud. But I was so scared, I actually whispered it. I just said, God, thank you for allowing this season to come into my life. I know you have a purpose for me. And as I stand here today, I'm reminded again that part of God's purpose was for me to go to wonderful places like Westgate Chapel and to be able to strengthen the faith of you believers, empower people to have greater witness for Jesus Christ, and that God would use me, the former stutterer, to be able to do that. See, I don't know how God may be speaking to you this morning. Maybe something I've said just might be a point of identification. It might be a lifeline. It might be an encouragement for you not to give up hope. Could remind you that God has a purpose for your life. You might not know it now, but to be able to, in faith, believe that he's still going to reveal that. It might just be a reminder that God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't given up on you. He cares for you. I just want to say, God wants to use you. God wants you to use you to comfort other people. He's got a distinct purpose that only you can fulfill through your journey, your story, and his purpose for your life. I'm living proof that you can find God in pain and loss. Would you join me as I pray? Lord God, we are tremendously grateful, even during the difficult seasons in life, because we know and we believe that you are fundamentally good, that your purpose for us is clear in your mind. And although we go through difficult seasons, many times where we bottom out, where we are overwhelmed by the situation, you still care for us. You still comfort us. You still are pursuing your overarching plan in our life. God, if there are people here this morning that are hurting, that are facing physical issues, emotional issues, facing family issues, employment issues, a career, purpose-oriented issues. Even if you're just struggling with the question of why, and recent things have just really flipped life on its head, and you're just really distraught with what's going on, and you find that your relationship with the Lord is just, it's really kind of fractured a little bit. Can I just give you hope that God is still concerned for you? He hasn't forgotten you. Can I also say that God wants to use your life experiences to bring comfort into the lives of other people? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. Pray that you'd continue to remind us that you're good, that you're worthy of our praise, and that we can continue to be thankful for your work in our life. Continue to watch over Westgate Chapel, Lord. Continue to fulfill your purpose for this place, because I know you have an even greater purpose for this place. I have no doubt about it. So God, would you just continue to open up the floodgates of heaven and bless this place. Bless Pastor Rob. Give him wisdom and leadership, and empower this place to do something great for Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brent. Yeah. I feel God laying something on my heart, so I'm going to share something with you real quick. As we go into this final time of worship tonight, this morning, whatever it is right now, time-wise, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what pain and loss you're experiencing. I've seen a lot of it over this last season, especially. I've experienced a lot of it in my lifetime. I've been dragged through the dirt and darkness to bring me here. God can use that time in your life to transform you and make something beautiful. And I love that. This song is all about praising him for the incredible God that he is and all he has done and is to do. So whatever way you would worship, would you fight the distractions of this world? Fight the fact that it's a little moist in this room today. It's warm in here. There's so many distractions this world tries to throw at us. But God is trying to do something beautiful for you. So whatever way you would worship, would you stand? Would you lay prostrate? Whatever way you would do it, would you worship with us?
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is my rock, my foundation. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Still my soul, he is faithful, his mercy sustains us. The world takes its toll, yet your grace and your love still maintain us. Drawing us near, let our intentions be clear. To the Lord, praise to the Father, praise to the one who saves my soul, praise to the Lord, praise to the Father, praise to the my hands to sing all that's within me, adoring all that has life and breath. Come now with praises before me, and let the amen sound from his people again. and you give us healing. Now we're surrendering. You give us hope. You give us healing. All praise to the King we sing. You give us life, and you have forgiven. Oh God, you canceled sin. You came within, life begins. Oh God, you canceled sin. You came within, life begins. Oh God, you canceled sin. You came within. We sing again.
As Brent was sharing, he mentioned that we've been sharing quite a bit, especially on our drive from the airport here to Toledo, and shared a lot about the hurt and the pain that we've gone through in our different times in ministry. And I remembered back to what that was like for me before I came to Westgate and what I was walking through. And as he mentioned the passage of scripture about Joseph this morning, that was a passage that I clung to so hard as I was walking through a time of deep pain and loss in my own life. And I can remember as I was reading Joseph's story that I wrestled so much, because you see everything that happens to Joseph, and at some point, especially when you're in the middle of that hurt, you're like, God, could you have just written into the story the places where Joseph looked at you and said, why? Why my brothers? Why jail? Where he looked at God and he expressed his hurt, his anger, his pain, where he felt hopeless. And even though it's not written in there, and as I traveled through this story, the one thing that God kept telling me over and over again as I got to the end of that story was he showed how Joseph looks at his brothers in the end and says, what you meant for harm, God meant for good. And I know that without a shadow of a doubt that Joseph through the years screams to us and says, I would never change a thing and I would go through it all again. Because what he saw and what changed and transformed his heart and his life was God's faithfulness to walk with him through it all. But to take a brokenness and a broken world, a broken family and broken experiences, to transform the life of a man who would impact the lives of countless people, not only in his own age, but throughout the centuries. And my friends, the pages of Scripture are filled with the lives of people who have walked through dark times and found God's faithfulness through them all. But the beauty is that God does not allow us to go through it alone. If you're struggling this morning and you're walking through pain and loss, God is with you. You may not see him. You may not be able to hear him, but he is there. And he has given you this church family as a personal, physical representation of himself to walk through it with you and give you the strength that you need. And he is going to use it to bring about something glorious in your life and for his glory. And so trust him, lean into him, place your faith in him, and use this body the way that he has designed it to be, a place for us to learn and to grow and to walk together. And you will not be disappointed. God is good. Amen. Amen. I want to thank my friend, very close friend, Brent Strasburg, for being here with us this weekend. And I hope that you have an opportunity today to meet him. If the Lord has been speaking into your heart in some way, if you need prayer, prayer for healing, or there's just something difficult you're walking through and you would like somebody to talk with, our prayer room is open today. You can go outside these doors and to the right, follow the signs. We, our prayer team, would love the opportunity to just stop and to talk and to walk with you and pray with you. As well, Brent is going to be out in the main entrance. He has a table that is set up out there, and he would love the opportunity to meet you and talk with you. I would tell you as well that he does have a couple of books that he has written that are out there, and we don't usually do crazy big pushes on this kind of thing, but I do want to tell you this. One, he has written a book called Finding God in Pain and Loss, which goes much deeper than he did this morning into his journey with God. If that's a place that you're struggling, I'd encourage you to go and stop and just talk with him and maybe even look at that book and see if that is something that would be an encouragement to you. But as well, as we've gone through this series of wrestling with the difficult questions that often come up as we wrestle with things like the Bible and God and Jesus and faith, one of the things I've tried to do every week is to give you resources that you'd say, go look at this. This is something you can use, not only personally, but also as you talk with others who may be wrestling in the same way. I believe it's important for us to have these types of resources at our disposal. And this is a book that I have used throughout the development of this series. We're going through one of many, but it is a book that he wrote entitled Footprints of Faith, which tackles 10 really difficult questions that people are asking. And if you're looking for a resource to go deeper that can help you, maybe for your own personal self as you wrestle with questions, but also as you walk with other people, consider checking it out, picking it up. It is a phenomenal resource, one that I go to many, many times. And so, church family, I'm just thankful that you have chosen to be here and worship with us today. I trust that the Holy Spirit is moving and working in your life, that he has spoken to you. And I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you as we leave today. Father, thank you for the time that we have had, especially this weekend, Lord, with Brent here to be able to dig into some of the difficult questions yesterday that people ask. But also, Father, to really wrestle with something that all of us wrestle with, which is pain and loss in our lives. And I thank you, Father, that your word continually, through the people in Scripture, points us to you, and that you are faithful, and that you walk with us. But, Father, that you also take that pain and loss to mature us and to bring us to maturity in faith, so that we can be a blessing in the lives of others. Would you develop that here in this church body, Lord? For those that are hurting this morning, would you draw close to them? Would you bring people close to them that would walk with them through their hurt and their pain? And that in the process, Father, would they see that it is truly you that is walking with them? But Father, I pray as well for every individual in this room, that we would be you, those who use our journey with you, the struggles and difficulties that we have gone through, to be a blessing in the lives of other people, that we would share our own testimony and journey of faith with you so that we could be that encouragement and be Christ to others. So Father, use us this week. Give us opportunities to be a light of your Son, Jesus Christ, all to your glory. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Church family, thank you for being here today. God bless you. Have a fantastic week.